name and your company. Tell me a little bit about your company.
So my name is Jason Bailey. I was the founder of a company called Super Rewards, Kitten Media. We founded here in Vancouver. We're a virtual currency monetization platform. So on places like Facebook, MySpace, standalone games. Games are our core market. If you want to buy, you're playing a game and you want a faster horse or a new set of tires for your car or some more coins to buy something or some special hat, then you buy those virtual goods through us. So we are the magic that gets the money out of people's pockets and into the interwebs. So whether that's through credit card payments, PayPal payments, mobile payments, store value cards, and stick $20 in an envelope and mail it to us. If there's a way to get money out of people's pockets, I'm on top of it. Internationally, in every country in the world, we aggregate over 100 different payment options. And then the most exciting and innovative way, and the way that we kind of brought what we brought to the table initially, was the idea of doing it through offers. So a company like Netflix, right? They'll pay me $25 for everybody that I can sign up for the Netflix home video delivery service. So for the game publishers that I work with, they don't really care if how they made $20, whether it came from a credit card payment or whether Netflix gave me $25 to give to them. So the consumer fills out signs up for the offer. They get rewarded in the points as well as checking out a new piece of advertising or a new offer. And the game publisher makes money at the end of the day. And so we work with over 5,000 different advertisers internationally. And it's a really innovative way to get people to earn virtual currency and people who might not otherwise want to buy. And there's a lot of free options. So consumers that don't have credit cards or don't have available capital to spend on these games can still earn the points and still generate revenue for the game publishers.
So how long, or why did you specifically get into that area of
long series of fortunate, lucky happenstances.
Maybe give us a little hint of what that is.
The history was, I've been involved in the online advertising industry for a very long time. So, especially in direct response and performance marketing. So that's how that idea of bringing that to the table came. But Facebook launched its third-party application platform in 2007. We were one of the first developers on the platform, and we were a bunch of guys trying out anything that might make you a couple of bucks. So we built a couple of our own Facebook games. And one of them was being good old Canadian boys, was a hockey pool game, right? So you draft your little hockey team using players, and whoever scores the most points wins, and it was a social hockey pool game. And then we thought to ourselves, we came up with this idea of having this virtual economy, and why don't we set it up so that if you want to trade any of your players, one of your players gets injured or isn't performing, and you want to trade them out, you need these puck points. And in order to earn puck points, you had to buy them from us. And so we thought, okay, well, that's fun and that's interesting. So previous to that, we'd been doing, just your traditional banner advertising and what everybody else on the Facebook platform was doing to make money, and everybody was making, just enough money to buy a latte every day, and that's about it. And then we put this in, and the first day we did that, we went from making $5 a day to making $250 a day. And we thought, wow, this is pretty cool. Like that was a good idea. Let's expand this. And so we started talking to a lot of developers and saying, hey, you should do it this way. And I was running an advertising platform, agency platform at the time. So we said, hey, use our platform. This will work, And so a lot of people loved the idea, wanted to do it, but very, very few of them were able to effectively build it themselves and have it work because they didn't really understand the nuances of the business. So I thought, well, why don't we throw a little bit of lipstick on our pig, wrap it up, turn it into an API, turn it into something we can deliver and throw it out to the market and see what happens. And that was in December of 2007. And within 3 weeks, we had one customer the first day, and within 3 weeks we were making $2,000-$3,000 a day, and we're like, wow, this is really working. Let's push it out to more developers. And by the end of February, we're making $15,000-$20,000 a day. And within 18 months, I grew that company from nothing to $100 million a year in revenue. And last summer in July, I sold it to an American advertising conglomerate called AdKnowledge. you know, it was a great success story for the city and for us. And now, you know, unfortunately for the city, most of the businesses moved south, and you know, San Francisco is our kind of core office, and I have about 35 people in San Francisco. I have about 10 people in New York. I have about 10 people in London and the UK. But our office here locally is down to about 6 or 8 people as we kind of transition the company down to the American.
So was that a plan in terms of selling it eventually, or were you just sort of following it and see where it would go?
Yeah, I mean, when I started the business, I didn't have a plan. The plan was to make money, right? Mm-hmm. Unlike a lot of entrepreneurs that make very little sense to me, you know, I thought I was an important part of business to actually make money. So that was the plan, and it just kind of grew and grew and grew and grew. And so we were happy. We were, you know, profitable since day one, right? And then it just, as it grew, I had a lot of opportunities for venture capital. You know, it's a profitable company. Every venture capitalist in town, and well, not in town, there aren't many in town, but in the Valley, was lined up around the block. They wanted in, you know. But it didn't make sense to me, the terms they wanted, the X's, the returns, the preferences. It just didn't make any sense to, you know, they're a bunch of sharks. You don't want to get involved with those guys. And then, you know, it became pretty obvious that you know, a sale exit was a much more likely scenario. And so, you know, we had a few offers and thought them through, and one worked.
So what's the process now for you, now that you've sold it? And what's your involvement, and what do you see yourself doing?
I still run the company, you know, the channel now. But, you know, transitioning away, it's been 14 months. You know, there's an earn-out, so I have golden handcuffs. You know, I could walk away tomorrow, but I'd be walking away from a lot. It'd be really silly of me. And I'm still passionate about the business, and it's still a really fascinating space. It's growing fast, and lots of challenges every day. So I really love the business still.
So for somebody that doesn't know what that means, you basically have a certain time period you have to stay around, and then at that point you can
then I can leave. So the terms of the sale were, you know, X dollars up front, and then Y dollars over the next 2 years, depending on what the, you know, how much money I make. So the more money that the company makes, the more money I get paid, right? And then bonuses if I hit certain targets. And so year one's under our belt. We hit our year one numbers, and now we're working on year two.
So what do you think of this conference in terms of connecting Canadians to Silicon Valley? And
phenomenal. Really. Best show I've seen in Vancouver.
Has there been any speakers or any people that you've been inspired by or you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm inspired by, I mean, everybody always says something in one of their speeches that kind of triggers something in my own mind, whether it's something directly or, you know, but there's always some aha moment and everything. So the most valuable thing is really the networking afterwards. It's the beers at the bar. It's the, you know, the chats in the hallway. That's where I think a lot of these values, the value really comes from, in forging these new relationships with new people. I mean, a lot of the people I kind of knew a little bit here or there, but, you know, it was great to get a lot of these. I don't go down to the Valley very often. They're trying to reel me down there, but I'm not going. Vancouver's my home. This is it. This is, you know, I'm willing to give up a lot of cost for the living the lifestyle that we have here in Vancouver.
So yeah. Most of the people have moved down there, but you've actually stayed here then?
Yeah, I'm staying here. I'm not going anywhere. This is my home.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, I mean, the pull is strong. The pull is strong. I mean, you know,
events
like this happen every week in San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah.
If you do another company, would you still continue to do sort of the same way and do it up here? And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easier to do it there, I think, in a lot of ways, but it's also different in a lot of ways because you're a smaller fish in a bigger pool. And finding talent's a real challenge down there, and talent is expensive down there, and talent is constantly being enticed by other people, right? Like there's always a new shiny little ball around every corner that to get distracted by. You know, some new great startup is always, you know, every day there's a new startup in San Francisco that's really exciting. Here in Vancouver, there's only a couple dozen tech startups.
So you have a little more freedom to kind of grow and figure it out.
Yeah. So it's important to, you know, so yes, you know, what's next for me? But what I want to do next is help foster and build the entrepreneur community here in Vancouver to you know, give back to the community a little bit, because, you know, I've been lucky enough to have some success, and I'd like to, you know, pass some of that experience on and help other people do the same thing here in Vancouver. So working with you know, Danny and Boris at Boot Up Labs and you know, having a look at what's coming together there, and talking to a lot of young entrepreneurs. I don't know that I want to start another company and work 80 hours a week like I was, but at the same time, I don't like that startup drive is so deeply ingrained in me, in that entrepreneurship. I can't not. It's not like I can go retire and sit on the beach. Like, that's just not a reality. That's going to be fun for about 8 days, and then it's going to be like, all right, what are we going to do today? And so I want to get involved, you know, probably more as an angel investor and you know, get involved with startups at an early stage and kind of help them get off the ground, but not have the weight of the world on my shoulders. They can carry that around.
Right.
But I'll, you know, be there to you know, advise and inspire and help where I can and have the fun of building something without the overwhelming responsibility. And there's so much going on every day down in the valley. And the crossover isn't nearly as strong as it could and should be. So it's great that Debbie got everybody here today, but are they coming back, you know? Are they going to invest in the city now? And I think, I mean, hopefully yes, and I imagine we'll see a few of them, you know, make a few pokes here and there, but, you know, we'll do it again next year, hopefully they'll come, but by having these outside events and showing them what a spectacular city this is, I mean, I'm really glad the sun came out today. They came the one day that it was raining in the last 6 weeks, you know, and the backdrop of these mountains and kiteboarding in Squamish and walking up the Gross Grind and like all of the, you know, amazing activities we have in the city. It's nice to, people are getting a chance to check them out and do it, and I think it's a smart thing that everybody should do. You know, you bring these people from all over the world to come and check out Vancouver and come to this, you know, it's a great convention center that we built for $10 billion or whatever it costs us, and it's great that they can see it, but to actually participate in these activities,